We're going to be studying the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim. I hope that we will be able to study things in depth and inside the texts themselves. And I will be passing around, when we get to the actual Yud Gimel Ikarim, I'll be passing around source sheets in order so that we can follow the actual language of the Rambam. But today we're going to have an introduction to the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim and to understand why it is that we want to study them, what's the value of studying them. In general, there are two types of belief, of faith, of emunah, of belief, approaches to belief when we speak about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first one is what philosophers like to refer to as beliefs that. These are intellectual beliefs, specific beliefs about Hashem. I believe that God does X. I believe that God will do Y. I believe that God is A, B, C. Those are beliefs that. There's another category which we refer to as beliefs in. This is less of an intellectual belief about God, but it's a belief in God, a faith in God. It's a relationship. It's something that affects my behavior. It's not something that just affects my mind. It's not something just that I know, a belief that God does X, is Y, but rather it's a faith in God. It's a relationship with Hashem. Different svarim in different time periods of Jewish history, Jewish intellectual history, have focused on different aspects of belief. In the times of the Rishonim, I think there was a greater, at least overtly, and a greater overt focus on beliefs that, on intellectual beliefs. Many of the svarim of the Rishonim deal with proving God's existence, trying to define the limits of God's interaction with the world. These are what the Svarim of the Rishonim dealt with much more often. In our day, certainly in modern times, Svarim deal much more with faith, with belief in Hashem, with strengthening our faith and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that there are different terms that are used for these different enterprises. The first one, the focus on beliefs that, things that we intellectually study about God and eventually believe that God does or that God is, that's what's referred to as deos. Our deos. Our imuna, our bitachon, these are terms that we use in regards to the second form of belief, beliefs in. Deos are the things that we study and that we know about God, the focus of many svarim of the Rishonim, to clarify our deos. And emuna bitachon, that refers to beliefs in God, our faith in Hashem, our relationship with Hashem. Excuse me. That is our emuna, our bitachon. Deos and emuna. Both areas are obviously of tremendous value to study. The philosopher side in us pursues deos. We seek out Hashem. We almost, if we can say it like this, look at Hashem as a concept that we're studying, something that we're trying to understand, something that we're trying to find. That's with our philosopher hat on. That's our pursuit of deos. As believers, we pursue emuna. We aren't defining Hashem so much in that we're trying to experience Hashem. We don't look at Hashem so much as a concept that we seek to understand, but we look at Him more as a presence, as a reality, as something that we try to relate to, something that we try to experience and draw close to. And I think it's important to wear both the philosopher hat and the believer hat. For some people, they obviously have a more natural propensity towards the intellectual elements of clarifying what God is and what He does and who He is, the deos. And for them, sometimes they struggle more with emuna, with having faith in that being that they seek to understand. And other people are drawn very intensely and have a very passionate emuna, a tremendous faith in God, even though they're less interested or less sophisticated in their deos. And I think religious thinking Jews, it's valuable for us to try to embrace both areas, to try to deepen our emunah, our belief in Hashem and our faith in Hashem, and at the same time to try to the best of our intellectual ability to have a sophisticated understanding of who Hashem is and what he does. So our shir, the outward focus of our shir, is going to be on Deos, on understanding God to the best of our degree, obviously, to what Hashem does and to how he interacts with the world and what and who he is, and those what the 13 Ikare Imuna are that we're going to be describing. They are 13 facts about Hashem and the world that he created and that he runs. But I'm going to admit that the goal here is not just the raw intellectual pursuit of understanding who God is, or the beliefs that, the Deos, but it's also to deepen our emunah. I believe that if we are able to strengthen our fihadeya tihaava, the Rambam writes, the degree that we understand Hashem, to that degree we love him, and love is certainly just a word for relationship. To the degree that we can understand Hashem, I think that degree we can have a greater and deeper relationship, and ultimately a greater and deeper faith in him. So those are our goals. So let's get started just with some words of introduction. The Rambam lists Yud Gimel Yesodos, or Ikarim. Now, the source for this, and the main text that we're going to be using throughout our learning, is going to be the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnayos on Maseches Sanhedrin. At the very end of the Masechta, the Mishnayos discuss who gets Olam Haba and who doesn't, and the Rambam uses this as an opportunity to define for us 13 facts that he thinks that we must affirm, we must believe and affirm, and by doing that, we have a right to Olam Haba. This list of the Rambam is unique. We don't have before the Rambam an explicit list of 13 Ikare Imuna, and the Rambam wrote his Perish on Sanhedrin, on all of Mishnah, in Arabic, and it was translated into Hebrew back in the time of the Rambam. The edition that we have of the Rambam's Perish Mishnah is in Hebrew. The classic edition that's printed in the back of each Masechta of the Gemara is actually a collection of different translations. It's not all by the same person. And obviously, whenever you're dealing with a translation, even the translations that came out at the time of the Rambam's life that he saw, you're obviously not getting the exact words of the Rambam. Now, many of the Rambam's writings actually were written in Arabic. The Mishnah Torah is the exception of something that was written in Hebrew. But his Perish Mishnayos, his Mo'en Nevuchim, these were all written in Arabic. So the Lashon of the translation that we have is that there are 13 Yesodos, 13 foundational principles. More in more colloquial terms, people refer to them as the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 primary points. And that's how we'll refer to them. But the number 13 is Chiddush of the Rambam. We don't have a list of 13 fundamental principles that predate the Rambam, to the best of my knowledge. We do have many people, before and certainly after the Rambam, speaking about three primary Ikare Imuna. And that's Hashem, Torah Min HaShemayim and Schar Va'Onesh, belief in Hashem as a creator, belief in Hashem as one who runs the world, and belief that Hashem communicated, and maybe even continues to communicate with the world, and that there is a mission that we are supposed, there's a mission for the world, for us as Jews in the world, but also that the world itself is moving towards a goal. And that it's not a haphazard creation. So it has been suggested, and I think it makes a lot of sense, and we'll focus on this as we go through the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, that the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim are really just a mere elaboration of those three. That we could actually break up the Rambam's 13 to be subcategories of three major Ikarim, and again, those are being God as creator, Hashem, God as one who runs the world, and therefore there's a system of reward and punishment, and God is one who interacts with the world and gives us Torah and has a plan for what should be done and how the world should develop. The idea that another issue that people take with the Rambam, or things, something else that the people point out with the Rambam, is the idea that there are Ikarim. The idea that there are Ikarim, 13 of them, implies that they are more important than other mitzvos. And that's something, or other ideas, other beliefs. That's something we're going to have to discuss. But certainly the Torah does take Deos very seriously. There are people who think, and this is a perversion of authentic Judaism, there are people who think that all the Torah counts about is action, is the act of doing mitzvos. But what you believe, that's not really so important. But this is certainly not correct. Torah Judaism has always placed a very particular stress on having proper deos, on thinking certain things and having certain beliefs. We have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek. This is the end of the Sanhedrin, where the Rambam uses his springboard to discuss the Yud Gimel Ikarim. The Mishnah tells us, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Li'olam Haba. All Jews have a Chelek in Olam Haba. Shenemar, according to the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'yamech Kulam Tzadikim Li'olam Yirshu. Aretz Netzer Matai Masa Yodai L'His Po'er. And then the Mishnah tells us right away, V'elu She'en Lem Chelek Li'olam Haba. Even though everyone has a chelek, everyone has a portion or a potential for Olam Haba, there are those who lose Olam Haba. For instance, Ha'omer Ein Tchias HaMesa Min HaTorah, Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, V'Apikores and Apikores. So here already we see that the Mishnah tells us that harboring certain beliefs, or I guess we should point out that the Mishnah says Ha'omer, one who expresses certain beliefs. But then it also tells us that an apikores, and an apikores, there are different translations and definitions of what an apikores is, but an apikores seemingly is a person who harbors beliefs. He harbors certain beliefs that are antithetical or against the beliefs that the Torah identifies as true beliefs, and these are people that lose their chelek in Olam Haba. So already in the Mishnah, it's not a chiddush of the Rambam, already in the Mishnah you see that harboring certain beliefs can preclude a person from Olam Haba. It's interesting that the Mishnah is written in the negative. If you say that there is no Olam Haba, sorry, if you say that there is no Tchias Mesim, if you say the Torah is not Min HaShemayim, what if you don't say it? What if you don't believe it? What if you are unsure? For the Rambam, as we're going to see, the Rambam demands Yud Gimel 13 affirmations. Again, I don't mean affirmations, I just mean statements. We have the practice to make 13 statements. Some people at the end of davening say the Yud Gimel Ikarim. But it's not mashma necessarily in the Rambam that you have to say them. But you have to believe them. And this is a little bit of a chiddush of the Rambam in the sense, at least if we look at it in the perspective of this Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that the Mishnah says if you deny, you lose Olam Haba. That's great. What if I don't deny? But what if I also don't necessarily believe? What about that middle area? For the Rambam, that would seemingly be a problem because you must believe these 13 things. For the Mishnah, it sounds like as long as you're not denying it, if the jury is still out, so then you haven't lost Olam Haba. But like I said, the Rambam's formulation is much stronger than the Mishnah. If you look at the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam says, and I'll quote to you from the Hebrew translation, "V'kasher yamin ya'amin ha'adam eila ha'yisodos kulam." This is after the Rambam tells us the Yud Gimel Ikarim. We're going to jump to the end. After telling us the Yud Gimel Ikarim, so the Rambam tells us, and when a person believes in these principles, and he's nitbarer ba'emunaso ba'Hashem, and because he has these three things, these 13 things, he now has a clear emuna in Hashem, who nichnas b'klal Yisrael, then, and seemingly only then, he is nichnas into klal Yisrael. And therefore, even if he does many other sins in his life, afilu asa mashiuchal min ha'averos, ma'achmas taiva v'zgabros ha'teva ha'garua, so he's nenash k'ficheto. If a person sins because of passion, because of desire, because of his animal side overcomes him, so he's punished for his sins. But aval yesh lo chelek l'olam haba. But he still has a chelek in olam haba. V'hu me poshe'e Yisrael. He is a sinner, a Jewish sinner. A sinner, but nonetheless part of Klal Yisrael. Right? We know famously that when the Jews sinned with the sin of Achan, Yeshua, the Navi tells us in Sefer Yoshua, Chata Yisrael. And the Gemara, Chazal, already point out that it says, Chata Yisrael. They sinned, but they're still Yisrael. And that's what the Rambam here says, that if a person accepts these 13 beliefs, so then he is a member of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even if he does all the bad sins in the book, he's still a member of Klal Yisrael. He's still Shayach to Olam Haba. He's a Jewish sinner, but he's a Jewish sinner. But ukeshen eskalkal adam yisod me'elo yisodos. But if a person messes up in one of these ikarim, one of these yisodos, he doesn't have a belief in them. Hare yatsa min haklal, he is out of the klal. V'kofer b'ikar, and he is being kofer in one of the ikarim, one of the fundamentals of our religion. V'nikrit stuki v'apikores, v'kotzeitz b'netios, he's called an apikores, a heretic. And this is the Rambam tells us very clearly here, that once a person denies one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, or doesn't believe, to be more exact, so he has lost his membership in Klal Yisrael. And this is very, very interesting formulation of the Rambam. You know, what makes a person a member of Klal Yisrael? Is it the fact that he shares a history with all the other members of the Jews? Not necessarily, because we have an institution of Geirus. A person can convert. He doesn't have the actual shared history with all the other members. Is it shared practices? Well, this also isn't necessarily true, because we have sinners. Like we said, Afa Pisha Chata Yisraelu, Chata Yisrael. Even though a person sins, he might not share in his practices, in his observance with everybody else, but he's still a member of Klal Yisrael. The Abar Benel tells us that the Rambam here is defining membership in Klal Yisrael. It's not a shared history. It's not shared observance. It is shared beliefs. So for those who say that beliefs aren't important, from the Rambam's perspective, beliefs are of utmost importance. And it's not, as others claimed against the Rambam, how can you make a list of Ikarim? You're making certain things more important than others. It's not a question of importance versus non-importance. It's a question of membership. This is how you get membership in Klal Yisrael. Membership in Klal Yisrael comes from believing in these 13 things. It doesn't mean that they are important, other things are not important. It's that these specific things have a role, and their role is that these beliefs are what define a Jew in terms of his membership in Klal Yisrael. This point is made very, very clear by the Rambam elsewhere. If you look in Hilchos Mamrim, in Parak Gimel, we're not going to read the whole passage there. If you read the whole passage, you'll see that the Rambam says it in an even stronger context. But the part that we'll read, the Rambam tells us, Misha inu modu or shebal peh, a person who doesn't believe in the oral tradition, those who believe only in the written Torah, and they reject Chazal, harehu, such a person, is kishar kol apikorsin, is like all other apikorsin, like for instance, those who say ein Torah min ha-shamayim, and call Elu, this is a quote from the Rambam, Einam Bichlal Yisrael. They are not part of Klal Yisrael. Now, we're not saying that he's not a Jew. But we are saying that he's not a member of our faith community. He's not a member of Klal Yisrael. And that'll have interesting nafkamina of Lahalacha, which we're not going to get into now. But if we know that there's a principle called a Ayin Nesach, or that we have Bishlakim, we don't eat food, even if all the ingredients are kosher, we don't eat food that was cooked by a Gentile. So now, if a Jew who doesn't believe in the Yud Karm cooks, does that mean that he's considered like a Gentile, and the food is not kosher because it's considered Bishlakim? So that's what I'm saying. We're not calling him not a Jew. He's still a Jew, but he's lost his membership in Klal Yisrael. Kol Elu Einam Bichlal Yisrael. It's the Lashon of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, and we quote it from Perush Mishnayos in the Hebrew translation, that when a person believes these things, he's Nichnas Bichlal, as opposed to those who are Yotzei Min HaKlal. The Rambam drives home the significance, and we'll probably conclude with one or two last. The Rambam drives home the significance of Deos, of beliefs, in the Sugya in Yevamos regarding Geirus. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Ger Shebol is Gayer, a Ger who's coming to be Megayer. So you say to him, why did you want to come and be Megayer? And you then inform him, Modim oso mitzvos kalos, mitzvos chamuros. The Lashon in the Gemara is that you inform him of some of the mitzvos kalos, some of the smaller mitzvos, and some of the mitzvos chamuros, and some of the more serious mitzvos. Now, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Yadalit, so you'll see that the Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, seems to quote things slightly differently. Listen to the Lashon of the Rambam. Ketzad mekablim geri atzedek. So how do you accept a ger? So, omrim lo mari isa shebosel this guy, you ask him why. Don't you realize that Jews have always been persecuted? And then Modin, this is his quote from the Gemara in Yevamos, but listen to how he changes it slightly. O Modino, so Ikre Hadas, you tell him the foundations of our faith, Shu Yichud Hashem, like for instance the unity of God, that the fact that monotheism, that God is one, the Isur Avodas Kochav Mazolos, and the prohibition from worshipping other gods, Uma'arichin Bedavar Zeh. And our Marich, you elaborate, you spend time on these issues. And then Modino so mitzvos kalos and mitzas mitzvos chamuros ve'ein marichin bedavarze. And this you don't have to spend so much time on. So the Rambam not only adds in the importance of discussing with the ger ikare imuna, foundations of our faith, beliefs, but he tells us that that's where you should really be marich. That should be the stress. And the mitzvos that's important, kabbalas mitzvos, is absolutely necessary for Geirus, but ein ma'arichin bedavarzeh. You don't have to spend so much time on this issue. So the Rambam, very interestingly, puts a tremendous stress in the halachos of Geirus on proper beliefs. This is the reason why it's been quoted from in the Great Achronim that a person who's nebach and apikores, a person who, you know, he's an apikores, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the proper beliefs, even though it's not necessarily his fault. It's unfortunate, but from a certain perspective, he's outside of membership in Klal Yisrael because he doesn't have the beliefs that are the prerequisites for being part of the Jewish nation. Now, the truth is that if you look in, we don't have time to go into it right now, this is not really our discussion right now, but if you look in that section in Hilchos Mamrim, in Rambam's Mishnah Torah, so he does discuss there, specifically in relation to Karaites, it seems, the halacha category of a tinok shenishba. And there is a special category of a person who's brought up amongst, outside of a Jewish traditional background, and therefore doesn't have access to the Ikare Emuna. We're not going to get into it now. There's lots of discussion about how to understand the Rambam there. But the Rambam Hilchos Mamrim does leave room, it seems, for a person who doesn't have these beliefs simply because he never had access to them. But for those of us who, Baruch Hashem, have the opportunity to have access to authentic Torah teachings, so it behooves us, obviously, to try as best as we can to understand and to affirm and to believe the Yud Gimel Ikare Emunah. We're going to run out of time, so I want to just make a quick point. There is perhaps a point of dispute here. The Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva, in his comments, Avraham ben David, one of the great Bali Plukta, one of the great arguers with the Rambam, one of the Gadol Ador in his time, living in Provence in southern France. So the Ravid has a Hasaga, he has a critical comment against what the Rambam writes in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam is describing or defining what a min is, what a heretic is. And the Ravid there takes issue with the fact that the Rambam counts as a heretic, a person who believes that God has a body. And the Ravid there seems to argue and say that it is okay. There were those great people who believed that God had a body. Now, the question is exactly what the Ravid means here. And there are many, many possibilities. Does he disagree with the whole institution that there are Ikari Emuna, that there are beliefs that a person has? Does he think that there are Ikarim, but that this specific issue of whether God has a body is not one of the Ikarim? Does he think that there are Ikarim, and this is one of them, but not believing in them or in this one doesn't prevent the person from Olam Haba? Does he believe that a person can be Anus, a person could arrive at a mistaken belief, and therefore he's not an apikores? There are many, many different ways to view this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. But there were those who believe that a person mistakenly arrives at kfira. Rav Yosef Albo seems to have a line like this. Then he doesn't necessarily become a kofri. He's not necessarily ousted from Klal Yisrael. And like I said, that's a larger discussion about those who perhaps argue with the Rambam on this point. But our point that we want to discuss for now is the Rambam's perspective, and that's why this is our introduction to actually delving into the Ikarim. The Rambam's belief, and this has certainly become the standard belief over the generations, for many, many generations already, amongst authentic Judaism, that there are Ikare Imuna, that, like I said, that already finds precedence in the Mishnah, but that these 13 beliefs are beliefs that a Jew has to have in order to become a part of Klal Yisrael. And we will discuss these in depth, one after the other, in the coming weeks.